Lifestyle matters. It's more than money. Welcome to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. No Faisal today. I've got Rob Geary joining me, an advisor on the Popowitch Carmally Advisory Group. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Good to be here.
Yeah, well,
big shoes to fill, did they say?
little shoes, dude. We get to take risk-free shots at Faisal all day long. Stick around for that, if nothing else. Listen, we got a really interesting show. There's been lots of scary stuff taking place in the markets and lots of volatility and lots of questions about what's going on. And we've got a unique opportunity to talk to a gentleman today who has a go-anywhere global mandate in any asset class. Mm-hmm. So, boy, if you can go anywhere in the world and you can pick any asset class to invest in, where would you go? So stick around for that. I think Michael always brings some very interesting insights into the world. But let's talk a little bit about the markets again, because we saw some very sharp trading days today, driven by, again, a pretty high print on inflation in the U.S. Sort of, what's your take on sort of the market's activity or reaction that we saw over the trading period?
Yeah, we had some up days, down days, sideways days, right? Even interday, right? Mm-hmm. And with the commentary from multiple individuals on speculation on what is going to happen with central banks.
Right.
Are they going to raise rates? Is it going to be 5 or 6 raises this year?
Right. Or is it going to be a half a point increase in March versus
a quarter point? Right. Yeah. We don't know that, right? So the market is starting to try and digest that.
Yeah.
And price that in.
Yep.
And, you know, where asset classes are going to go. And where we are going to go. We're going to hear more from that from Michael.
You know, what's interesting, and I think you picked up on an important point, the market activity was driven on comments made by various members of the U.S. Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. Federal Reserve officials, some said, hey, you know, we're going to be pretty cautious about how we approach these interest rate increases. And some said, no, we are going pedal to the metal. We are jacking rates like crazy. And depending on which day you looked at, that comment had a material impact on the trading, right? And it was fascinating, and it speaks to the uncertainty of it, right? So investors maybe are unsure as to how fast and how far, and it would appear that when the dovish comments came out, markets rallied on that, and then when the hawkish comments came out, all of what was gained was given back, and then there was sideways trading and everything else, right? It gives you a sense, though, since the next Fed meeting is not until March, what we might be in store for.
Mm-hmm. More volatility.
More volatility. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. What about your thoughts on... So markets are pricing in 5 or 6 interest rate increases. In fact, I would argue they're probably pricing in now a full 50-point increase in March, not 25.
Yeah.
And so from a go-forward perspective... You know, give me some thoughts or insights that you're thinking about with respect to what it might look like, given that that's already being priced in.
Well, I think it gives potential opportunities.
Right.
Right. We can make fun of them, but the shop maybe he's out shopping today.
Faisal on his shopping list. Yeah.
Looking for some of those opportunities. Yep. If we're pricing in now, what we expect, and we're setting that basis, then we're looking at the full broad-based market, how it's priced in currently, PDE, P&E ratios, and earnings coming in.
Yep.
Right? You talked about that last week.
Yep.
Pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And it's not... The recovery phase of an economic cycle, this isn't inconsistent with what happens, right? And I think it's important investors recognize that they're... As we come out of the... as we get deeper into the recovery phase, at some point central banks don't need to be providing all of the extra stimulus that they need to when we go into recession and try to stabilize the economy. And so naturally, through any recovery, they have to take that out, and that's what we're doing now. And the sequence of events that take place in the market often determine the amount of volatility we have. And you look at the beginning of this year, all the volatility driven by markets' focus on inflation and rising interest rates. So that was the focus, and this repricing took place and arguably still taking place this past week. But we are in the midst of earnings season. Mm-hmm. And there will be a number of earnings seasons going forward through this year, each quarter, of course. And so if the market is priced this accurately already, that's already priced in. Mm-hmm. And at some point, we get back to just the fundamentals, right?
You're right.
The earnings that you talk about. Okay, so give me a sense of you know, you're talking to clients and there's nervousness about this. What are you telling them?
Well, the nervousness from clients obviously comes from headline, right?
Right.
They're seeing either inflationary data or commentary on a daily basis,
right,
or geopolitical risk,
right,
on a daily basis. And we've been through these things historically.
Sure we have, yeah.
Right. So talking through clients and saying, yes, we're in some moments of volatility. Actively, we can look for things that are going to help.
Yeah.
But also, this isn't your retirement or your investment thesis, or our investment thesis, isn't short period of time either.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? People tend to be long-term investors with short time horizons.
You're right.
Right? It's very interesting. And it's emotionally charged, right? I get that. Faisal, I've done a number of shows on that. And of course, you've been part of those conversations. But it becomes incumbent on people to really think a little bit long, like to stay true to that longer-term mm-hmm. vision about what we can expect. So the markets will, at some point, correctly price what inflation hikes are.
I get where they come from, though, right?
Yeah.
They're all going to the grocery stores.
Well, let's talk about that. So definitely, if you're filling your tank up, you're going to the grocery store, you know, and you're paying attention, you're likely feeling that. But how many calls have you had from clients who have said, listen, I need more money this year because my personal inflation rate has gone up?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a lot?
A few. And it's interesting. I'll tell you why that there's been a few, because the few are living differently than the other.
Yeah. Right?
And the few that are living differently may be traveling.
Right.
Or spending more.
Well, so let's talk about travel, which is interesting because I've got to make a trip to Vancouver. And I picked up a flight recently. And now my wife booked it, so I could be slightly off here, but I'm pretty sure it was a couple of $100 for a flight. Right, that's super cheap is from what I can remember on a pre-pandemic basis. So there are things that are cheaper. There are things that are more expensive. The reason I asked you about the personal is you said a few people have called. I've not had a whole lot of phone calls. And the fact is that we are facing inflation. I'm not trying to diminish that. But people's lifestyle have obviously changed. We've been locked down. We haven't been able to do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it'll be interesting to see historically when we reflect back on this, whether the spike in inflation sort of worked itself through the system and really didn't have any material impact,
right,
on people's, you know, daily lives. Yes, I'm spending more on groceries. Yes, it cost me more to fill up my tank, but I haven't been doing these other things, and therefore my personal inflation rate really hasn't changed. I think that'll be a historical analysis that we can do.
Well, I'll throw it back to you on that side. Yeah. We're goods-centered inflation right now.
Right.
Now that things are opening back up,
right on,
does that transition to the service side?
I think it naturally has to. Services would represent typically about, let's call it 2/3 of spending for families pre-pandemic. Good spending represents now about 70%, because we can't do anything else, right? So you're just buying stuff. But people are one, they've got lots of stuff now, don't need more stuff. And then when that piece of the economy does open up and travel and people feel more comfortable about it, I think a lot of that spending gets shifted back there. So it'll take some inflationary pressure away from the goods pieces, but it might add some inflationary pressure in services, because I'm not sure flights are going to stay as cheap as the one I just got.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it'll be a very interesting analysis to do historically. Having said all that, listen, we got to make sure that people get through their whole retirement, which is more than 6 months, 1 year, or three-year period, right? This is a long period of time. And we're going to talk about the different buckets and how to structure all of that at our upcoming seminar.
To join us Tuesday, February 22nd at 7 p.m. This will be live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
If you're confused about what's going on in the world and how asset classes are performing, stick around after the break. We're going to talk to a guy that can go anywhere in the world and buy any asset class. Let's see where he's going. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.